Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There's a master thief loose in the land, always at work, striking wherever he can. He picks our pockets, he robs our homes, he steals our most valuable possessions. He even lifts the spiritual seed from the hearts and minds of those to whom it is offered. He plants doubt and fear and error in its place. We know who the thief is, and even many of the ways that he works. But too often we show slight concern about it. The thief is so deceptive and so sly. Sometimes the theft is so gradual that those who are being robbed are not even aware of it. They go on about life so satisfied, as if everything is fine. They are so fascinated by the human solutions to problems, spellbound over the temporary and worthless offerings of the sinful world, that they lose sight of real treasure. We hear much about burglary, larceny, and homes being entered and property stolen. It is almost an epidemic in many places, but we all need to look about our homes. We may discover that we have been robbed and have not even been aware of it. Precious things have been taken from us. Where is the Bible in your home? Certainly you must have one somewhere. Nearly all homes have a Bible, don't they? It may well be covered with dust or other reading material because it is used so infrequently. It may be pushed back on some back shelf. You may as well not have one for all the benefit you get from it. Some people keep one around for emergencies, like sickness, or weddings, or funerals, or even a visit from church people, especially the preacher. But where is the biblical influence in your home? Many homes are far more influenced by newspapers and magazines and journals and television, which often are not even fit to be seen and read, but are being consumed by the mind. Many homes have been robbed of the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Wherever the Bible is not prominently used in the home, ignorance of the will of God prevails. Confusion and misunderstanding will reign where understanding is needful. Trust in God is displaced by trust in self, or some other human being, or some material something. The Bible has been robbed from many homes today, and the result is disaster. Where is the family worship in your home? The family that prays together stays together. Friend, this says more than we first might recognize. Families that pray together show a common respect for God. They know what matters. Their values are in proper order. Prayer is one manifestation that the family is founded on something sound and eternal. Families like that seldom suffer the ravages of divorce and delinquency and hatred and quarreling or strife or bickering and separations. There is no force on earth more powerful to cement families than mutual love and respect for each other and God. Love for God keeps people loving one another. Families can take tensions and problems from outside and inside the home when they have their feet planted on solid spiritual truth. Every home needs a two-way communication with God in Bible study and in prayer. Most homes have radios, televisions, telephones with extensions, with all kinds of messages coming and going back and forth. Has your home been robbed of communication with God? Does your child know what it is to hear his father pray? Does he pray? Does he study his Bible, if he is of age to do so? Do you set the right example before him? Satan has really taken a deadly toll in many homes in disturbing the values of the home. The abundance of material things is often counted better than matters spiritual and eternal. Fun, rather than genuine joy and happiness, is sought. Seeking the praise and acceptance of the people of the world is the goal of many homes more than the approval before God. Financial and other physical aspirations exceed the determination to serve God. Secular education is preferred to enlightenment of the soul. Money comes even before morals. Pleasure is the name of the game with so many. Little wonder that young people grow up confused and empty. Look at what has been taken from their homes. They hardly had a chance to see or know anything of real value. With the home being little more than a filling station, both parents out making money, children neglected, the right and wrong according to God being ignored, how could anybody expect much more than what we're reaping in society today? The home that is without firm and kind discipline has been robbed. Adults need to practice self-discipline, and the young need to be disciplined. To discipline is simply to train. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give correction, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So many children are just allowed to grow up physically. They're not guided, they're not taught, they're not given basic values. They're left to make decisions without the ability and the knowledge to know how to make decisions. They do not even know what matters. How can they make intelligent and worthwhile decisions under that situation? Character is formed by discipline. And this involves more than just chastisement, though this has its place. It shows the child the way that he should go. Words accompanied by deeds is the way to train. Some parents say so little to their children, they do not even know what their children are thinking, or who they are, or where they go, or what they are doing, with whom they are running, and set such a poor example before them as well. Most of the fault for wayward youth lies at the feet of parents of the home. So many have failed because of their own selfishness and their greed, and their children suffer, and the home decays. A home where there are no rules enforced is a home that breeds contempt for authority. The overbearing, tyrannical rule will crush a child and turn him into a rebel. Also, the home that is lax and permissive will produce a leech on society and shame on the home. What every home needs is the moral and spiritual guidance that is found from our Lord in the Bible. But many who are the so-called authorities in the home think that they are smarter than God, and they dismiss him completely. So much of the problems of society and the home are brewed in the home that fails to exhibit proper respect and exercise of authority. Children either learn to respect authority or they learn to rebel against it. How is it with you and yours? Has your home been robbed of thanking God at mealtime? Has Satan removed that out of the way at your house? Now, you may think this is unimportant, but it teaches a basic truth that God is the source of our blessings, and thanksgiving to him is expected and proper. It is not more than just simple courtesy to thank those who give to you. We teach our children to be rude and uncouth, to think that whatever they get is from our own efforts alone. Grace at meals gives glory to God. He deserves all the honor we can bestow. The least we can do is to thank him at mealtime. But some families, they're like a pen of hogs, who just snort in eating and stuffing, giving no thought to the source of their blessings. And like the hog filling himself with acorns, he never looks up to see from whence they come. What consideration is given the Lord's Day at your house? More and more families consider Sunday just another day off from work to do as they please. Go boating, play ball, sleep late, play golf, do anything you want. They never give God a thought, even on Lord's Day. And this is being taught in our society as the in thing. Even members of the church sometimes act like the worship services are an intrusion on the only day I have. Fruit born proves the point. There was a time when people worshipped God on the first day of the week, spent time in spiritual thought, used the day for families and visiting and worship, attending to the affairs of the church. They rested. They gave themselves to a good self-examination before God, and they considered what really matters in life. But today there is the constant blaring of sports and riotous living, even using the day to get more dollars in overtime. Merchandising is rampant. Even people who call themselves faithful Christians will absent themselves from the assembly of the saints in the local church just to have their good times. Some defiantly excuse themselves by taking the Lord's Supper with them, as if this satisfies the teaching of the Bible. Such arrogant rebellion against truth is commonplace among brethren, and it is as wrong as it can be. Now, we may not like the truth, but the truth is that the nation was a better nation when the stores were closed and the ball games were played on Saturday. There is such a preponderance of secular and sinful thought among people today that even attending worship is considered odd. What a pity and what a shame. Has your home been robbed of properly using the Lord's Day? Does everybody at your house know that the first day of the week is the day of worship, and it comes before everything else? That it belongs to God? That it is a time for studying His Word and showing love for each other, attending to the soul? Maybe you heard about the preacher announcing a most important business meeting to take place one Sunday afternoon. It so happened that the matter had to be decided, but it was Super Bowl Sunday. The members were so overtaken in the world, this posed a problem for them. The preacher announced the meeting for 6 o'clock sharp and reminded brethren that this was one of the most important meetings in the history of the church. But then he added, "In case of overtime, we will postpone the meeting until next week." Now, this is the mentality of many. Their homes have been invaded by the world. Even things that are not sinful in themselves have pushed the primary things into second place. Friend, as I was growing up, nobody treated Sunday just like some other day. Even denominationalists had more respect than that. Today, however, you see and hear all kinds of activities accompanying neglect for the way of God. Yes, there may be times when the ox is in the ditch, as the Bible says. But if that persists, you either ought to sell the ox or fill up the ditch. These signs of our times is one disregard toward all the Almighty. And at your house, how is it in this matter? Friend, if your home has been robbed of its spiritual treasures, do not you think it's about time that they are either recovered and restored and protected? Has not the way of Satan been eroding the firm foundation of spirituality in your home long enough? It is time for you to put your foot down on the devil's neck. Rearrange whatever needs to be arranged so God gets first priority at your house in these matters. We put all kinds of alarms and window latches and lights and signals and warnings around the house to protect our physical properties. And this is useful. But do not you think you need to pay more attention to the warnings coming your way about the spiritual robbery that may well be taking place right before you? We do not need to have any recommendation for some newfangled device to warn you of the devil or to keep him out of your home. The only device we know is the one that has worked everywhere. Everywhere it's been seriously and genuinely applied, and that is the good and regular serving of the Word of God. It is strange that the very thing that Satan wants to take from us the most is what can keep him from robbing us of all. We need a Christian-oriented set of values, family worship, respect for the Lord's Day, a two-way communication with God, good examples, proper discipline, respect for authority, Thanksgiving at meals, character building in the home. The home will do more along these lines when the church will teach the home to fulfill its mission. Then things will be protected, and they will be preserved. The church cannot take the place of the home, nor can the church very often overcome the home and what the home does to its members. Members of the home, mostly parents, that have allowed Satan to take away what matters from the home, can get these things back, if they will. But who will? Well, that's up to each one. And unless you get and stay busy at the task, your home will continue to be pillaged until it is spiritually impoverished. And then you can think about that for eternity in hell. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.